Yo vai Hiranyakshavatam Mahabhutam Vikirditam Karanasukaratmanah Shinoti Gayatyanumodatenjasa Vimuchyate Brahma Padadapi Vijaha. O Brahmins, anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of the Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of sinful activities, even the killing of a Brahman. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since the personality of Godhead is in the absolute position, there is no difference between His pastimes and His personality. Anyone who hears about the pastimes of the Lord associates with the Lord directly. And one who associates directly with the Lord is certainly freed from all sinful activities, even to the extent of the killing of a Brahman, which is considered the most sinful activity in the material world. One should be very eager to hear about the activities of the Lord from the bona fide source, the pure devotee. If one simply gives oral reception to the narration and accepts the glories of the Lord, then he is qualified. The impersonalist philosophers cannot understand the activities of the Lord. They think that all his activities are maya, therefore they are called mayavadis. Since everything to them is maya, these narrations are not for them. Some impersonalists are reluctant to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, although many of them are now taking an interest in it just for monetary gain. Actually, however, they have no faith. On the contrary, they describe it in their own way. We should not hear, therefore, from the Mayavadis. We have to hear from Sutta Goswami or Maitreya, who actually present the narrations as they are. And only then can we relish the pastimes of the Lord. Otherwise, the effects on the neophyte audience will be poisonous. In this materialistic society, people are endlessly seeking some pleasure from hearing or visualizing various, we could say in a perverted sense, pastimes of people in this world. They may be historical, contemporary, fictional. But there is a great need. Newspapers, magazines, cinemas, televisions, books, novels, dramas, plays, music, art, poetry, essentially the subject matter is the various activities, desires, realizations of the human mind, of human life. We understand from this particular verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna is Adi Purusha. He is the original person. He is also Sarvakaranakaranam. He is the cause of all causes, the source of everything. He is Krishna, all-attractive. Everything that everyone is looking for pleasure in has its origin in Krishna. Also has its fulfillment in Krishna. Today, people are very much intoxicated, enthralled by entertainment. Sports is a type of entertainment. And as Kali Yuga progresses, sports becomes more and more violent, because that violence just makes things more exciting. Sports that at one time were quite pious, now they become so intensely competitive, so intensely, what to say, filled with greed for victory and money, that even a pious sport, I know in the West, where there's really not much access to violence, still people get mad at each other and start beating each other and throwing balls at each other and beating each other with sticks and everything like that. And that's what the crowds love to see. Because people, somehow or other, have this taste for violence and to see their particular team or person that they relate with to be victorious. Similarly, in the cinemas, more and more there's violence. You don't have to go to the cinemas, just look at the hoardings. Even simple, innocent looking women have knives in their hands and machine guns. Have you seen? You can't not see. And men with mud on, cuts and blood all over themselves, holding some weapon of destruction. Why do they put these in the hoardings? Because they know this is what the perverted mind of man loves to see. This is what they'll put their money to see. Violence is so much rampant because somehow or other people like violence. Even little children, especially little boys, even in India, we have seen, we won't mention any names, but they're not very interested in playing the parts of Krishna and the cowherd boys. They're more interested in Bhima fighting with Duryodhana. Even one of our teachers at a Gurukul of the past, he was saying that if you want to captivate, you have to speak Mahabharata. Otherwise, people are very much, children are very much, have this necessity for the action of violence. with making so much money to somehow or other exploit that tendency. So much so, as we were explaining in Sinhachalam, the little children, just little children, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, are going into their schools with bombs, machine guns, rifles, and murdering teachers, fellow students, and trying to actually, some of their goal was to assassinate the entire school. It didn't happen once, didn't happen twice, didn't happen three times, something like four times in the last year or so. It's becoming more frequent every year. How is this? Because they have this tendency to take pleasure in some sort of violent, ghastly, horrific type of a situation. Because they're seeing it. It's being advertised, it's being promoted, it's being heroized to be violent. The biggest selling movies are usually the most violent. Usually violence or lust. When these two things are mixed together, it creates a very, very palatable combination for the mind of someone in Kali Yuga. Lust and violence. And those who can most masterfully weave these two things together. They win Academy Awards, they win Emmy Awards, they win all kinds of awards. Because they capture the minds of the people. Because ultimately, the human nature of the soul is somehow or other, it is attracted to lust and violence, somehow or other. Why? It is not actually the soul. The soul is attracted to Krishna. The soul is attracted to everything Krishna does. But in this material world, lust or desire, when it is unfulfilled, it brings about anger. Dhyayato vishayan pungsang sangaste shubhajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodha bhajayate krodha bhavati samohat samohat smriti vibrama smriti brahmashat bhurinasho bhurinashat pranashiti. Whole system of how one falls down is explained in Bhagavad Gita. When one becomes too much attached to the objects of the senses, lust develops. When lust is unfulfilled, anger arises. From anger, the memory is bewildered. When the memory is bewildered, intelligence is lost. When intelligence is lost, one falls down again into the material pool. That means one engages in sinful activities. So the nature of the soul is it has a very deep burning desire to be enjoyed by Krishna. When that desire is misdirected, when we forget that this burning energy within our hearts is meant to be enjoyed by Krishna and thus find ultimate fulfillment. When we forget our relationship with Krishna, we direct that same incredible energy, spiritual energy, toward the temporary pleasures of this world. Prema becomes kama. Love becomes lust. That same energy, when directed to Krishna, is prema. When it is directed away from Krishna, it is calm. What is the difference? Kaviraj Goswami says, like the difference between iron and gold. They are both metal. But one is base and worthless, and one is most precious. So this energy of prema, which is the inherent essence of our very soul, which is pure, spiritual, and sacred, which is meant for Krishna's enjoyment. It is bhakti. When that same energy is directed due to envy away from Krishna, for the selfish, motivated enjoyment of a body and mind which really has nothing to do with the soul. It's just a temporary box that the soul is living in for some time. But when we take that package to be the all in all, and we want to somehow or other enjoy through this package, that is lust. The same articles that the soul wants to just give to Krishna and feel ecstasy, we want to take from Krishna and keep for ourselves. It is not possible to fulfill our lust. Gita says it's like fire. The more you feed fire, the bigger it gets. It doesn't go out. When lust is unfulfilled, there is anger. Anger completely transforms a person's consciousness. It's a very terrible, terrible phenomena. People do crazy things. Even good people do crazy, terrible things when they're angry. Krishna says in Gita, Trivedam Narakashetam Dwaram Nashadam Atmana Kama Krodas Tathalobas Tasvar Eta Triyam Tiyajayat. There are three gates that lead to hell. Lust, anger, and greed. And every sane man and woman should give them up, for they lead to the degradation of the soul. Transcendental anger, which was exhibited by Hanuman, sometimes Krishna, Arjuna, that was a type of anger which was simply meant for the purpose of service to the Lord. It was pure anger. But we do not find that in this material world. Anger is due to frustrated lust. And subtle lust is profit, adoration, and distinction. This is called the subtle sex influence. We want to enjoy. And oftentimes, when we do not have the fulfillment of the control that we want over another person, we become very angry. Srila Prabhupada explains, when one is too much angry, the eyes literally become red. The heart starts beating very quickly. The chest starts getting like tightness. One can feel one's whole physiological system very, very adversely affected by this energy of anger. And then one says sometimes horrible things, or may even do horrible things. And a person who's a little respectable terribly regrets it afterward. But today, in this day and age, people don't even regret it hardly. They're actually proud of it. They're glorified for it. If somebody gets angry and beats someone 3/4 to death, everyone says, "Oh, you are very cool. He's very tough. He's very good. I want to be like him." It's very popular. Civilized society, they would think he's a savage animal and put him behind bars. But today, these things are considered very, very, very good. So why is it that violence is so popular today? And it's becoming more and more and more popular in books, in magazines, in televisions, in cinemas, and everything. It's because people's lust is so terribly unfulfilled that they enjoy these kinds of things. But Krishna is so merciful that he comes down into this material world and engages in the most incredible violence. But by hearing about Krishna doing it, we lose all of our lust and anger and become completely purified. You see, in the spiritual world, Krishna doesn't do these things. There's no need. Hiranyaksha is not allowed in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, he's Vijay. He's a very loving associate of the Lord. There's no bloodshed. There's no demons. The spiritual world, everyone's prema is directed to Krishna, so there's no anger. There's only love. But in this world, because so many people are so frustrated in their lust, and they're so angry, and they're so attracted to violence, that Krishna personally engaged in the topmost violent activities. No one can be so heroic in violence as Krishna. The most incredible master of special effects could never come close to a drop in the ocean of the kind of ghastliness that Krishna has created when he came to this world. If you read Mahabharata, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna is fighting, you know, we have seen World War II. There are movies about World War II or this war or that war. But where have you seen rivers of blood? Where on the battlefield there is so much blood flowing. It's not just like a little stream. It's a river, a deep, wide river. You could put boats on it. You could put steam liners. You can put ocean liners on that river. And that river is so deep and so wide, and it's flowing so hard, and it's pure blood. And there's arms floating in it, and heads floating in it, and elephants floating in it, and horses floating in it, and chariots floating in it, and helmets floating in it, and all kinds of weapons floating in it, and different parts of bodies of all different kinds of animals and humans. We read about it in Srimad Bhagavatam again and again. When Krishna fights, he causes rivers of blood. I've seen, I don't know what it is, something like the hoardings in America for a movie called The Exterminator or The Eliminator or something. Somebody who can just kill mass people. But Krishna is the Adi Exterminator. What can he do? They can, if they spent billions of dollars, they could not come with the special effects to match a movie that could possibly compare to what Krishna has done. Impossible. When Krishna was fighting with Jarasandha, there were hundreds and thousands, millions of soldiers, and within a matter of minutes, he had every one of their heads cut off, arms cut off, chariots broken, rivers of blood. Hare Krishna. And we find in the Battle of Kurukshetra, what kind of war was that? Unbelievable. Intrigue, violence. And in the story we're reading today, the fight between Varaha Dev and Hiranyaksha, in the previous verses of this chapter, you've read it all. No fight like this has ever been seen in modern history. These are massive personalities, like mountains, with chakras and clubs and mystic powers and weapons and all kinds of incredible illusions being created. Krishna's always victorious. Even sometimes he appears that he's about to lose. That is his pastime, just to make things exciting. We came from Mahovalam. We read about it, we talk about it, but can you imagine seeing it? Millions and millions of Hiranyakashipu's soldiers were attacking Narsingadev, and with the sharp ends of his nails, he just scratched them all to death. Ghastly. How many of you are attracted to this? There you are. Because people in this world have this tendency, not everybody. Some people are more attracted to Krishna dancing with gopis. But if you have this unfulfilled desires, then Krishna comes just to purify your tendency to see ghastly activities. Because if Krishna does it, you become purified. You dovetail your propensity, you become purified, and you go back home, back to Godhead. That is his causeless mercy. He comes especially to attract our hearts. And we find so many of the avatars, if you look at the 10 avatars, the principal ones, so many of them appear in an environment of fighting. Why is that? Because there's fighting in the world and Krishna wants to set things straight. But most of all, to perform pastimes involved in fighting just to attract our minds. You don't have to go to the cinema. You can just read Srimad Bhagavatam. You'll get better quality excitement. But you'll get purified rather than putrefied. Matsyavatar may not be fighting violence, but as far as devastation violence, violence of nature, when there's a cyclone, we think it's a very violent thing. People, the newspapers love when there's cyclones. It sells so many papers. Even people who are in the West, I know, There are people whose special profession is just filming tornadoes and cyclones. They risk their lives. They go in vans and sit in the top with their, just showing the cyclone coming right toward them. Because they make a lot of money doing that. But in the process, they're risking their lives. So when there's a cyclone, when there's a volcano, when there's a tornado, there's some destruction, earthquake. But in the story of Matsyavatar, we are talking of total destruction. It rained. We're disturbed when there's too heavy monsoons. But this rain, within a matter of minutes and hours, the entire world was submerged and everything was finished. Except whoever Satyavrat put in his boat, everyone else was dead. Hare Krishna. And then Matsyavatar appeared. And Kurmavatar, there was terrible, violent battle between the Suras and the Asuras. Massive violence. And to create a truce, the Lord said, you should both agree to churn the ocean of milk to get nectar. So Kurmavatar came in that situation. Before it began, there was war. It created a truce. After the demigods got the nectar, there was another war. What to do? And then we have, next avatar is Varaha. He fought incredible battle with Hiranyaksha. The next avatar is Narasingha Dev. Nothing more to be said. The next avatar is Vamanadev. Also, the demigods, demons, he was a very peaceful avatar himself. But as far as the environment, Bali Maharaj conquered the Devatas. The Devatas wanted their property back. So Vamanadev, he got it all back for them. He put Bali Maharaj in captivity and extolled his glories. The next avatar, Parasuram. Parasu means an axe. And Ram means one who likes to use that axe. One who takes pleasure in chopping demons to pieces. He was really very, very heroic personality. He would win every Academy Award if he was here today. When he was fighting the sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, there were millions of them. He was fighting with the speed of mind. What is the speed of mind? If you think of going to the moon, the amount of time of that thought, your mind is on the moon. That's the speed of mind. His axe was moving at the speed of mind. Can you imagine? It was just... And every fraction of a second, heads were coming off. That's what the speed of mind is. It was mass slaughter. And then after some time, he slowed down due to being tired to the speed of the wind. Like a cyclone wind. And millions of heads coming off, and arms coming off, and legs coming off. He was really intense. He was just chopping up bodies into small little pieces. Rivers of blood. And the next avatar is Lord Ramchandra. The culmination of the Ramayana is the fight between Ravana and Ram. Indrajit, Hanuman, Kumbhakarna. People who like excitement. People who like monster movies. You'll never create a monster like Kumbhakarna. Impossible. He's the ultimate ultra monster. He was so huge. He was just eating people. He just, with his hands, he'd pick up 50, 60, 70, 80 people, throw it in his mouth and just chew them up, and blood coming down his cheeks and his chin. He was very monster person. So Ramayana, Lord Ram, he killed Kumbhakarna, he killed Ravana, Lakshman killed Indrajit. Wonderful story. Next avatar, Sri Balaramji and Krishna Balaram. We read about Krishna Balaram. They, every type of activity, the most intimate, loving act. Krishna is Purnavatar. Wealth, beauty, knowledge, strength, fame, renunciation. As Krishna and Balaram, they exhibited all of these in full. Krishna's beauty is unexcelled. He would play, no one's beauty is like this. How many of these Miss Universes or handsome movie stars, how many of them, just by his smile, can make an entire river change its course? Can get millions of the most beautiful goddesses of fortune to renounce their homes, their families, and come in the middle of the night just to please them. Krishna's beauty, supreme beauty. Cupid himself is utterly charmed by the beauty of Krishna. And as far as wealth, Krishna, overnight, he built 16,108 palaces. Every one was more opulently decorated than Indra's, the king of heaven. Even the wealthiest man in this world, he wants to build a beautiful house. Even if he has the best Singapore construction companies working on it, Japanese, Singapore, whatever, still it takes at least 6 months to a year to build it. What to speak of decorating it and importing so many the nicest things from this world of earth. In Dwarka, the Sudharma assembly house of Indra. Srila Prabhupada explains, in every country, according to the power, the prestige, and the particular culture, a government wants to build an assembly house or a congressional assembly house which matches the opulence, the dignity of that country. So there's a lot of pride in that, in every state, in every nation. It becomes like a symbol of the country. So Krishna, just in the Yadu dynasty, They wanted to show what kind of symbol they are. They just went up to heaven and told Indra, we're taking your assembly house. He said, no, you can't take it. They said, stop us. Hare Krishna. Indra had to surrender. They took it right out of Indraloka and put it in Dwarka. Magnificent. And Krishna's 16,108 palaces were all better than that. And he lived with 16,108 queens. And every one of them was fully decorated with the most beautiful jewels, robe, garments, most incredible furnishings. There was nothing made out of plastic. Everything was gold, silver, gems. When Krishna appeared on earth, he displayed supreme opulence of wealth. And when he appeared on earth, knowledge. Krishna speaks the Uddhava Gita, the Bhagavad Gita. What knowledge can compare to that? The philosophers of our modern time, they can present their philosophy, but in a few centuries they're all forgotten. Their philosophies are ultimately defeated, proven to be false or erroneous. But Krishna's philosophy of Bhagavad Gita still stands as the supreme absolute truth, as the ultimate standard of knowledge. Not only in India, but all over the world. Deep thinkers who have little bit open minds, they applaud the glories of the knowledge of the Gita. And Krishna's fame, throughout his different names, he's being glorified throughout the ages, everywhere. And everybody talks about God, whether they believe in him or not, whether they like him or not, they can't stop talking about him. All the atheists talk about is how there's no God. If God wasn't important, then why they keep trying to prove that there is no God? Because they can't forget him. In their ignorance, they can't forget him. Krishna, as far as his renunciation, we see how, although he is the supreme master of all masters, still he's subordinate to the love of his devotee. He cries when Mother Yashoda says, Krishna, why are you doing like this, stealing butter? No, Mata, I didn't do it. He allows himself to be tied up by Yashoda Mai. He allows himself to be defeated in wrestling by his friends. He washes the feet of his devotee, Sudama. This is renunciation. When you have everything, but still you take such a genuinely humble position, that is real renunciation. No one can compete. And as far as strength, we're talking about this particular avatar of Krishna Balaram. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna revealed Virat Rup. Hare Krishna. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas, they take pride in protecting others by causing harm to others. Arjuna with his Gandiva bow, we could see what kind of violence he could create on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Because that violence was in the service of Krishna, for the protection of the pious, it was actually peaceful activity. It was in the cause of peace. In this material world, sometimes you have to use violence to create peace. We have to make sure that we are actually with the proper motivations and for the proper cause. But even Arjuna, when he saw the Virat Rupa with these thousands and thousands of mouths just eating all these soldiers, he couldn't tolerate seeing this. It was too much for him. Even a Kshatriya like Arjuna couldn't look at it. He said, "Please, Krishna, take this form away. It is too ghastly." Krishna, time I am devouring everything. And a little later, there's Kalki avatar. Haribo. Buddha comes before that. But Buddha again. Why does he come? Because there's so much unrestricted slaughter of innocent animals. He comes to protect the animals from slaughter. And Kalki, he slaughters animals himself in the form of degraded human beings. But the difference is when he does it, everyone gets liberated. So when the Lord exhibits these violent activities, it's very much to attract people's hearts who have this type of tendency, which so many people have in this world. But his activities are not actually violent. They may appear to be. But everyone in the battlefield of Kurukshetra went back to Godhead, Srila Prabhupada says. All those millions of people went back to Godhead. Is that violence? This world is a violent place. You cannot deny it. We can say, give peace a chance. That's a nice sentiment. Maybe in our own hearts and amongst some people that we have influence, we can create peace. But it's a world of violence. When is there not wars? When is there not crime? When is there not death? Old age is violence. Look at some old people that you know. They're suffering. They don't know how to get out of it. And it's getting worse and worse. And then these violent diseases from within. Cancer is a violent disease. To something that gets in you and just starts tearing you and ripping you apart from within. AIDS is a violent disease. Malaria is a violent disease. And really, what is the medical profession? It's just declaring war against these different bacterial diseases and everything else. This type of somehow or other trying to combat against the violence of this world within and without. And history. History is usually calculated on the basis of wars. Alexander the Great, so many wars. Before that was the Battle of Kurukshetra, the Ramayana, so many wars. There's World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, India-Pakistan wars, wars in Africa, wars in Europe, wars in Russia. Everywhere. And it's going on now. So the scriptures explain in this age of Kali Yuga, there will always be like this. cannot escape it. We can try to create peace, which some people will somehow or other accept it. But on the national, international level, everywhere, there's lust. When lust is unfulfilled, there's anger. In order to fulfill our lust, there's greed. And lust, anger, and greed, they lead to the degradation of the soul. And we'll trace all violence. It's all based on lust, anger, and greed. So therefore, Krishna appears in these wonderful, wonderful forms like Varahadev to perform such incredible actions of killing a demon in a major battle. And it is explained here that anyone who hears, chants, or takes pleasure in the wonderful narration of the killing of Hiranyaksha demon by the Lord, who appeared as the first boar in order to deliver the world, is at once relieved of the results of all sinful activities. So devotees are meant to be actually peace-loving people. We read about great Vaishnavas, how they will, Mugrari the hunter, after he became a devotee, he would not even step on an ant. He would bow down and offer obeisances even to the insects. His heart was transformed. He saw the presence of God in everyone's heart. How could you be violent? You can only love everyone, everywhere, whoever they are, whatever they're doing. You can only love them if you have transcendental knowledge. That is a Vaishnava. That is what we are striving to achieve, is that pure, loving, peaceful state of consciousness. Where even where there's so much violence going around us in this world, our heart is fixed in that spiritual environment where there's only peace and love. That is Krishna consciousness. But that comes through a pure heart. But the Lord, He's so merciful. Because we have these tendencies, He appears in the most extraordinarily violent ways. But because it's Krishna doing it, everyone He comes in contact with, either on the battlefield, either the demons, anyone who hears about it, everyone gets purified. So we have our choice. Do we want to read about, see, hear about these things that completely infatuate our minds in the mode of passion and ignorance? If you go to the cinemas and watch the televisions and read the books about violence and lust and all these things in the world today, it simply incriminates, accentuates, exaggerates, and ultimately just inflames the modes of passion and ignorance in your heart. And practically impels you to follow in the footsteps, to one degree or other, of what you're seeing. Like these little children. They go to a movie and see someone killing everybody, so they just find their father's gun and start shooting all their friends. Mahajano yena katasa panta. However, when we read the glorious activities of Krishna, whatever they may be, sometimes he's killing Putana. Sometimes Trinavarta, Sakatasura, Denukasura, Vyomasura, Kaliya, he didn't kill, he defeated, Vatsasura, Aristasura, Kesi, Pralambasura. So many times Krishna and Balaram perform these beautiful activities, but they don't make us violent. They make us pure. They make us peaceful. But at the same time, we relish so much when Krishna does it. And when we read about the universal form, we're very, very excited. Purifies our heart. Therefore, the greatest need in human society is purification. And Krishna makes it so palatable, exciting, and pleasurable to get purified. For an average person to just sit in a cave in the Himalayas chanting Omkar, it's not practical. Some of you here could probably do it, but somehow Prabhupada has saved you from that. You can get even more purified by sitting at the edge of your seats reading about how Balaram is smashing the head of the Vidya gorilla. That is Krishna's mercy. He has appeared to attract whatever propensities, whatever tendencies we have, and Krishnize them, purify them. Is there any questions? Yes. Please forgive me if I was somewhat graphic in my explanations, but compared to what's in the scripture, I wasn't very graphic at all. And not only that, but if you read the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Quran, it's mostly histories of battles. It's the world we live in. Yes?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, this is a question relating to the violence which we have been discussing. My son Abhay. Hmm? Right? Abhay. This is relating to Abhay Charan, basically.
Your son.
Yeah. So we had seen that right from birth he had this tendency of being aggressive. And we thought that, you know, telling him all the stories of Krishna killing the demons and Mahabharata and Ramayana would really satisfy him. So over a period of time he has absorbed all these stories very nicely. And we noticed that, you know, he manifests that violence. And many times he will also justify by what Krishna has done or somebody has done. And we see that in school or, you know, with his friends. Many times he shows this tendency of violence. So the question is, Maharaj, he relates it very well to Krishna or Ram or somebody. But whether it is really purifying him, we are not sure, because it really hurts somebody else. And now we are really scared to tell him any such stories. So how do we actually understand this, Maharaj?
You're asking me. He's being purified, definitely. Because he has certain propensities. He has a certain nature. If he was not hearing about these activities, because it's not that you're only telling him these activities. There's also Krishna with the gopas and Krishna with gopis. He's hearing those too, is he not? But he has an inclination toward Krishna's fighting spirit. Yes? If he wasn't a devotee, God knows whose fighting spirits he'd be attracted to. Huh? Even today, and not only today, but even years and years ago, if you look at the cartoons that children watch, it's mostly violence. Of course, it's funny type of violence. But there's coyotes and birds beating up each other and getting smashed on the head with things and falling apart. Yes? I don't know if who was your cartoons, but when we were little children, there was Mighty Mouse, and he was just beating up people all the time. This little mouse. And have you ever heard of Popeye? He would always, someone would be beating up the innocent, and then he would eat spinach, and then he would get real strong and beat them up like anything. Practically all of them. This is the cartoons. It's just people beating each other up. And when they get a little older from their cartoons, then what do they watch? Hare Krishna. Then they see people with machine guns and these fire blowers burning people to death and killing and horror monsters. Huh? So if he wasn't doing what he's doing now, he would probably be doing that. And that just creates a criminal type of mind. It's a horribly violent situation. It creates a very violent environment in a person's heart. But because he's doing with Krishna, he's dovetailing his propensities in Krishna, he's actually becoming purified. And because he's attached to Krishna, as he gets a little older, he's going to understand what his hero is really saying. What his hero is really doing. What his hero really wants him to do. And he'll be a very saintly person. Does that answer your question? You'll see. If he's not beating somebody up in the name of Krishna, he'll be beating somebody up in the name of somebody else. Some movie hero or novel hero or cartoon hero or whatever. But because he's doing it in the name, because he's doing it with the thought of Krishna, with that propensity, he'll be purified of that propensity, definitely. Because Krishna is all pure. So of course you should teach him not to do this. You should teach him that this is what Krishna does this to demons, not to classmates. Prahlad Maharaj made his classmates dance and chant. Why don't you do that? So you should teach him. It's your duty as a father. But you should be very grateful that he's Krishna conscious. Otherwise, he would be some other conscious, where he would be further polluted and perpetuated in violence rather than becoming purified. When you understand why Krishna is killing demons, when you get an understanding, you become completely transcendent. You become moral, you become well-behaved, you become respectful to all because you understand Krishna and what he's doing. But if it's not Krishna, if it's some hero in the movies or on the television, then you'll simply become contaminated. And it'll get worse and worse. And when you understand the person, then it gets even worse. So you should be proud of Abhay Charan. He's a very special personality. And how such a child is the grandson of Sahadev,
is a great mystery to all of us. He's the most peaceful, soft-spoken, polite, sensitive about everybody's whatever, to not make anyone feel bad, and very... And Abhay is transcendentally different. Very talkative. But he loves to talk about Krishna. He's a special soul. He's an empowered being. That same fighting spirit will become purified, so he'll want to fight for peace, fight for justice, fight for purity. Once he gets a little better intelligence of how to dovetail it, he'll be a spiritual warrior. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is not to kill the demons with weapons, but to kill the demoniac mentality through philosophy. Being trained up by the Lord in the heart. Is there any other questions? Yes?
You have mentioned about the impact of cinema on people's minds. So since we have so many wonderful stories in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, Ramayana, so why devotees in ISKCON are not trying to produce movies so that people can be preached to through this medium?
There is devotees who want to, but it costs to do it in a way that can compete with these others. You need tens of millions of dollars. How much do they spend on movies these days? $100 million. What they spend on one out of dozens of movies made a year in the West, we could practically build the entire Mayapur project on what they spend on one movie, which lasts about 2 hours at the most. Yadubar Prabhu, who's the best filmmaker in ISKCON, Prabhupada met him in India. He was doing some documentary. And this has been his dream. In fact, Bhardwaj Prabhu, who is one of the best of the ISKCON artists, he later, as in profession, he was one of the leaders in Disney productions, making those animations, cartoons, full length. It's his dream in life to put the Ramayana in animation. His whole life, that's what he wants to do. He's written to me. All he needs is a few million dollars. And Yadubar Prabhu, he's always wanted to do Krishna Leela Mahabharata. It's been his dream for the last 25 years. He just needs about $4 or $5 million to actually do it in such a way, because if you're going to make a movie, people are so used to the movies of today's technical quality. If you make it so far below technically, then people will laugh instead of take it seriously. It would probably cost a couple million dollars just to create someone like Kumbhakarna. What to speak of Kaliya or Keshi. Hare Krishna. Unless you just dress up a couple devotees as Keshi. That That's what we do in our dramas in the temple. We just put some little bull mask on someone and he's Aristasura. But if you're actually going to have the effect of this bull whose back is in the clouds and who's so horrible and horrifying, to actually bring about some semblance of the real excitement, you need a tremendous amount of special effects. It costs a lot of money. So people want to do it. But somehow Krishna is just not giving the Lakshmi at this time. But with your prayers, everything is possible. Does that answer your question? It's been the dream of many devotees.
Maharaj, there is so much violence nowadays and on the border and in the country, and in near future we are expecting more than that. So how do we prepare to protect our mission?
Most important ways, we have to protect our purity, our integrity. That is most important. The greatest violence is to engage in sinful activities, because sinful activities create the karmic reaction of all this violence. The wars, it's not just one dictator who's responsible. But that person, he may be responsible on one level, but also he's carrying the karmic reactions of people in that region or people in the world. So if we live very purely and we develop very deep attachment to Krishna, to the service of Krishna, to the principle of humility, self-control, that is the greatest way of counteracting the effects of the whole material nature. That is most important. At the same time, in order to facilitate that principle, Srila Prabhupada explained, we should be prepared to protect devotees from aggression of others. So that is also there. It's violence to allow an innocent person to be a victim. It is nonviolence to stop such aggression. So we are not foolish in that sense. Therefore, according to Varnashram Dharma, the Brahmins, they are meant to be studying the Shastra and preaching the Shastra. The Vaishyas are meant to be farming, doing trade, developing various facilities for the financial, economic sustenance of society. The Sudras, they are meant to, just according to their propensity, just do very, very loyal and dedicated work. And the Kshatriyas, they are meant to protect the innocent from the exploitation of aggressors. That Varna Ashram system is each of those particular varnas and ashrams are necessary for a peaceful and spiritual progressive society. Thank you very much. But ultimately, Srila Prabhupada explained in a morning walk in Mayapur in 1976, he said, Prabhupada, if there is a war, what will we do? He said, we will chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
He said, that's all? He said, that's all. Of course, if we have some food in surplus, my traditional society always has food in surplus. If in case there's ever any type of a difficulty, whether it's drought or whether it's war, whether it's economic collapse, whatever, okay. Civilized society, there's always some food in surplus. So we don't know what will happen. So actually every grihasthas should have a couple months of surplus food in their homes in case ever anything happens, their family is protected. Because today's society especially, everything is very much artificial. The whole economy based on stock markets. America is the leading country. What was it, in the 1920s? The stock market crashed. In one day, practically the entire nation was in poverty, overnight. Even the wealthiest people, they couldn't eat their diamonds or rubies. They couldn't eat their nice furniture or their silk suits. They needed food. What to speak of the poor. So society is like that. So we don't have to be afraid, but we should be aware. We should prepare ourselves. Ultimately, by the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, by the association of devotees, by hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, that is the most important preparation in anything. Because death's going to come, we should be prepared. When? That is a matter of detail, but it will come. But in order to have an environment where we can continue on chanting, it's intelligent to always have surplus of the necessities. So we're not utterly dependent on everything going just as it's supposed to go by our material social standards. Have supply of medicine, have supply of food. That's a very intelligent thing. Highly recommended. Each family should do. And we're not doomsday people thinking that the sun is going to fall tomorrow. On December 31st, 1999. Whatever happens, happens. We're not really afraid. We have our japa bags, japa malas. We have mridangas and kartals. We have association of devotees. And if we have some food for prasad, a little medicine if we get sick, it's whatever happens, it will happen. We'll be chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you very much.